As we learn about the nature of Jesus in a rather sickly, sweet way, we thought we would whet your appetites for this festive season of excess, expanding waistline, and rather nasty acne. We offer you a fair trade. You may have to duck, you may have to dive, but your life will be sweeter if you heed our message from John, who brings you good news, not necessarily good food. So listen well as we explore, in only 10 sweet points, the full milk gospel of chocolate.
Right. Who was Jesus? If Jesus had just been a man, just a normal man, then this would have been a normal day and we wouldn't be here. We'd be at work or at school or something like that. And that wouldn't be any fun at all, would it? And I doubt whether anybody would have actually ever heard of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, there were lots of good men in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. There were many miracle workers and preachers. Jesus probably wouldn't have stood out very much from among them. At most, he might have got a brief mention in a local history record, but he probably wouldn't have been mentioned at all, because there weren't that many people writing, except for one difference, and that is that Jesus claimed to be God. This claim was sickening to the Jews, as eating all the chocolate we're going to see today would be sickening to us if we ate them all. But at least the chocolate bars we're going to find today have something to say about Jesus. At this point, I need you to look under your seats. And some of you will find something there. And if you don't find anything under your seat, look after an empty seat. Look under an empty seat. Lucas, look under your seats. Okay. They are numbered. If you've got one, you'll notice they're numbered. 1 to 10. Okay, who's got number 1? Can you come up? Yeah, can you show it to us? Yeah, brilliant. Can you read it as well? Okay, what do you show everybody what you got first? It's a galaxy bar. Now, can you read it?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
That's great. Now,
say it again.
Now you can read it again.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Marvellous. Thank you very much. You can go and sit down. That's great. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word is older than the galaxy itself. The Word is a fancy name for Jesus, which John uses. It tells us that God is a God who loves to talk, and his way of talking to us is through Jesus, who reveals God the Father to us. But just stop and think about this for a little moment. It's not just that Jesus is older than the galaxy itself, but that Jesus existed right at the beginning of all time, there with God. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist. And what does that tell you about Jesus? Well, number 2. Who's got number 2? Bella. And Jeremy. Show them what you've got.
We got this one.
It's a divine chocolate bar. What's it say?
It says, "And the Word was God."
Thank you. So here's the divine mystery. The Word, Jesus, was as much God as God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one Godhead. This divine chocolate is only 70% cocoa, I noticed, which was very disappointing, I thought. But Jesus is 100% God. Number 3. Great. Come on down. Show them what you got.
A Twix.
It's a Twix.
He was with God in the beginning.
John 1, 2. Thank you very much. He was with God in the beginning. There was nothing betwixt them. In fact, they enjoyed the perfect relationship, not only between Jesus and the Father, but between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They made the perfect trio. But they don't make trios anymore, so you can't have one. Number 4. Who's got number 4? Lucy. It's a bounty bar. What's it say?
Sorry, I can hold it.
There you go.
Thank you. Through,
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made.
Thank you very much. There you go. Oh, microphone, bouncy parts all too much all at once. John 1:3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Only the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit existed at the beginning. Everything else, all the wondrous bounty that we now know in the universe and on this planet, I left those at home, called Earth, has been made. Back in Genesis, whenever God creates anything, it is done through God speaking, isn't it? It's God speaking his word. So God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, or spoke, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water, and there was sky. And God spoke and said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear, and there was land, and so on. Which is why John can say, through Jesus all things were made. Through Jesus all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And all the bounty of this universe and the world we live in has been made through Jesus for us to enjoy. Number 5, Alex and Lucas. What did Lucas find under the bench? What is it? You look, easily started eating it already. It's a Kinder egg. What does it say? Do you want to read it, Alex? Okay.
John 1:4, in him was life.
Great. It's a Kinder egg. John 1:4, in him was life. Jesus made all things. He made it possible for life to exist. He made the light and separated the land from the water, created vegetables and fruit. I'm sure you're eating lots of those this afternoon. And fish and birds and animals of all kinds. And he blessed the land and he made it productive. And then he even created us human beings and gave us life too. So that Jesus is, in fact, the source of all life. Number 6. Eve.
John 1:4, and that life was the light of men.
And what have you got? It's a Yorkie bar. John 1:4, and that life was the light of men. And that's the problem with Yorkie bars, because they're only for men. So we need to look for something more inclusive. Number 7. What have you got? Izzy, what have you got? It's dairy milk. You can't get more inclusive than dairy milk, can you? Everybody loves dairy milk.
In him was life, and that life was the light of all people.
That's better. Thank you very much. Back to Philip. In him was life, and that life was light to all people. You see, since Jesus is the source of all life, it doesn't matter whether a Jewish or Christian or Hindu or nothing religious whatsoever, we need the light of the King to enjoy life and to continue living. You see, Jesus is not only a life source, he's a life bringer, he's a light bearer throughout our lives. All of us need the light of Jesus to live by, whether we recognize it or not. And sometimes people think that being a Christian is just about living by a set of rules or by being terribly serious. So we need number 8.
John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
But it's not. It's not, is it? It's not about following rules and being terribly serious. It's about knowing God through Jesus and having a full and exciting relationship with him who wants the best for our life. He wants the best for our life. So we can revel in life in full and be a blessing to many who live on this earth. But life to the full is not just about life in this life in John's Gospel. Life does not end at death for those who believe. Life to the full is about reveling in Jesus in this life, but then reveling in him for eternity, for the whole of the next life as well. And that's, I think, something we shouldn't whisper about. Catch? Some people might think it's a bit fruit and nuts. This one's heavy, catch well. But we mustn't fudge the issue. Because when we're living our lives in full relationship with God, where is it? When we're living our lives in full relationship with God, the ripples from our lives will be felt by all. And that's the end of part one. Please stand, we're going to sing our next carol, which is Hark the Herald's Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Okay, we need number 9 now. Oh, here he goes. He's just gone running out. Eloise is stepping in. Have we got a microphone? There you go. Hello, Alex. Oh, you've half eaten it. Who's eaten it?
Hugo.
Hugo. And he's just escaped out the back. Right. What did you have?
Kit Kat.
Ah, but it's not any old Kit Kat, is it? It's a dark Kit Kat. Do you want to read it?
Light has come into the world, but people love darkness more than light.
Thanks very much. It's a dark Kit Kat. You see, the bittersweet truth of Christmas is although Jesus has come into the world as our light, the wondrous gift that we sang about in our first carol, people love darkness more than light. So just as we are divided by chocolate into those who prefer milk or dark chocolate, we're divided by light into those who choose light and those who choose to remain in the darkness. You see, the light of Jesus is a little bit like this camping light, which I'm now going to light. If it works. Can you all see the camping light? Good. Now, the natural thing is for all of us to be drawn to this light. As we look at the light of a candle or the flames in the fireplace or the lights of a camping lamp, I can always guarantee that your eyes will be drawn to the flame there. But I can also guarantee that some of you are thinking right now, what on earth is he doing with that camping glass in this church next to those candles? It's going to blow up and we're going to destroy the whole White House church. But that's not the natural reaction. You see, before the light of Jesus, people separate themselves into those who are drawn to it and approach the light, and those who shy away from it and don't want to look. But if Jesus really is God, and God has come to this world, then we should all be celebrating with the minstrels. We should all be drawn towards the light. John chapter 3, 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And it's only because this world has been spoiled by sin that some people have a twisted or curly-whirly reaction against it. People curl away from the lights. Perhaps it's because they prefer to seek money. Catch, it's heavy. Ah, Jeremy, watch out! Or true love. Where are they gone? Where's my wife gone? No, she's too small. Catch. She missed it. Or they go to school and they try to become a smarty rather than face the light of Jesus. Well, why is that? Because they want to live their lives as if they were in charge, as if they were more important than God. And that's the fundamental nature of sin. It's living life in Terry's twilight. I'm going to give that to Philip because it's too heavy to throw. So let's have a look at this. This is very special. I had to travel a long way to go and find this. You see this? It may look like an ordinary box to you, but it has a snowflake on the front. You see that? That means that it was taken to a very, very cold place. A very, very cold place indeed. Where it's extremely dark in summer, in winter, and the sun hardly ever rises. And it's so dark, there's not even any street lamps, and no stars. It was a cloudy night when they took this tin to this place. And what they did is they opened the lid, and they captured some of that darkness inside this tin. Isn't that exciting? This is a tin full of darkness. So I need a volunteer to come and open this tin. This is an experiment. We're going to see what happens. Miriam, I think. Oh, no, sorry. Miriam. Might need another volunteer later on. Now, when Miriam opens this tin, you might have to prepare yourselves because the whole room is going to turn dark. Are you ready? We don't have a drummer. No. Right. Ready? Take that. Ah! Oh, nothing happened. What's wrong? Hang on. What's gone wrong? That shouldn't have happened. It's a 41. What's gone? what's gone? Oh, there's something in it. What's that?
It's a Milky Way.
A Milky Way's got inside a tin. They're pesky, these Milky Ways. They're very small, but they do get in the places you don't want them sometimes. And there's a message as well. Do you want to read the message?
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it.
Thank you very much. So like the Milky Way, which shines in the night sky, the light of Jesus can never be overcome by the darkness. It's not like the darkness didn't try in the life of Jesus, is it? I mean, here's Jesus, who never did anything wrong in his life, the Bible tells us. His teaching was amazing. Everybody heard it, was amazed, astounded by his teaching. Thousands came for his healing or his blessing. And yet, the religious leaders were always looking for a way to kill him, weren't they? One of his own friends betrayed him in the end. The Roman authorities just washed their hands of him. The soldiers mocked him and cursed him, and he was crucified on a cross before he'd reached the age of 33. Darkness thought it had done a pretty good job of dealing with Jesus of Nazareth, so that none of us would have ever heard of him. Now that he was dead and gone, his followers wouldn't last very long, would they? It would soon be over and everyone would be able to go back to the old way of life and nothing would change. And if Jesus had been a man, then that, indeed, would have been the end of it. But this is no flaky story. Bad catch, Nick, bad catch. In verses 6 to 8 of John chapter 1, we see that John the Baptist came as a witness. John came so that through Jesus all people might believe. But Jesus was also his own witness by the things he says and he does. In John's gospel, Jesus himself claims to be God 7 times, and each claim is backed up by a claim. For example, when he claims to be the resurrection and the life, he raises Lazarus from the dead. When he claims to be the bread of life, he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. When he claims to be the light of the world, he gives sight to a blind man. You see, the inconvenient, crunchy truth. Wake up, Phil. Is that his light will never be overcome by darkness. It is irrepressible. Just as Jesus himself proved to be irrepressible by rising again after being put to death by his enemies. After his enemies had thought that they got rid of him for good. And all because... No, sorry, I couldn't afford any of those. And all because Jesus was not a man. Not just a man, sorry. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. And he came into this world. We need number 10. Who's got number 10? Phoebe's got number 10.
No, you talk.
Okay. John 1:9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks, Phoebe. And Phoebe had a large Milky Way there. You see, the true light, Jesus, is God come to earth. He's the true light for everyone in the world. You can accept him, be drawn to him, or you can reject him. But his light simply cannot be ignored.
Now, in case you feel you are needing time out, it's time to break away. I shall bring our story to an end. Though it has been told in a silly way, it has an important message that could give a boost to your lives. Yeah. So, after the celebrations of today,
Pass around.
As the day comes to an end, and just before you go flump on your settee, think about this man, Jesus, who was 100% man, but who existed from the beginning and was 100% God. Not merely 70% or even 85%, but 100% God beings. And he came so that we might have life and enjoy life to the full in this life and the next, when we choose the light over the dark.